Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Tony Stallings. Tonight's show is a replay of a show done earlier when we had Totally Taboo, which was another show done on the Soul of America Radio. This show was probably one of the most impacting shows that we've ever had, dealing with the demonic forces that we believe are behind the hardcore hip-hop. I want you to pay attention to our guest tonight, Minister LP, a very smart young brother that brings us to the knowledge of what's really going on behind the scenes with this music. So,
and now, without any further ado,
I am going to release the show to you now. This is a recorded show. You will not be able to actually call in, but you can listen. And the commercials are old, so you're going to hear about old shows. I hope you enjoy tonight. Please call all of your kids, your teens. This is a very good show for teenagers and parents. And now, hardcore hip-hop, The Demonic Connection, with Tony Stallings and Took, who was a former host on the show with Totally Taboo. I take you to that show right now.
Soul of America Radio wishes to advise you that Totally Taboo discusses topics and subjects that may be considered offensive or disturbing to some listeners. If you are easily offended or carry certain beliefs, spiritual or otherwise, that prohibit you from participating or partaking in discussions of a sensitive nature, this segment may not be suitable for you. Also, parental discretion.
Looks like it started over on its own. Not quite sure why that happened. It may affect the ending of the show, but so be it. And now, the completion. I'm going to go ahead and see if it goes into the show.
Controversial.
And for those just now tuning in, let me say that this is a recorded show. That's why I'm having some audio problems, I guess. But this is a recorded show done several months ago with a minister, LP, and he is a phenomenal brother. And I want you to give it up for him. I believe the audio. Are we in the show now? Okay, let's see if it works this time. I'm going to go back. If not, then I'm going to have to improvise. Let's see what's up. You cannot call into this show. This show is not live. All right, man, I'm getting an echo. Okay, that was weird. That was weird, man. Our intro actually played twice. I had absolutely no control. Two, can you hear me, man? Two?
I'm here.
Two, can you hear me?
I'm here.
Oh, man, sorry about that, man. I got no control over my board, it looked like. But you hear me, right?
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. The devil is a lie, man. The devil is a lie. I mean, listen,
That thing played, man, like it was possessed. It just started playing the second time. I ain't never had that to happen, but I'm going to declare it right here that the devil is alive. We're going to get this message out tonight. How you doing, my brother?
Doc, I'm excited, and the devil is alive, and we ought to have the expectation that he going to try to trip us up when we trying to put him on Front Street tonight. So I'm doing very well, man. I've been excited all day long because this is a message that I not only need to get across, but this is my opportunity to be educated on tonight. So let me go ahead and put a point there and remind folks in the show today, we got this professor on this topic about to join us and educate us all on what it is that we're looking at and the hidden messages in our music and in our entertainment. So Toot gonna make a viable effort to control his long-windedness here tonight so we can answer as many calls as we can and try to get in as much information as possible. So, Doc, I'm sitting here in tiptoe anticipation, ready to hear from this great, great man of God.
Man, and the calls are stacking up, man. We're going to tell y'all, we're going to let this brother get his message across, and then what we're going to do is, if you got a question, if you're listening via phone, which we got a slew of callers in, press 1 if you got a question, okay? And we're going to get to you. And then if you're listening via internet, you can dial 323-784-9638 and then press 1, and we're going to get to you. And, man, look, without any further ado, man, I just wanted to hop in it and kind of give them a wrap of what's going on, man. And how we came about this topic was Took and I sort of kick around things during the week of what we want to talk about. This is totally taboo, and we might say some things that may offend you. We're not going to cuss and act a fool, but we might say some things to educate you that might make you uncomfortable. So let me go ahead and put that out there. Like Took says, if you are, what's the dog thing you said, man? You might want to put up. What's that you say, man?
I want to warn you that would this be a good time to put all the children and small animals away? because we're about to talk about the things that we usually don't talk about. So prepare yourself to get ready for a blast. So
there you go. And we have actually in the studios, I call them the studios, but it's my basement, a young man that I highly respect. And I visit his Facebook page a lot. And he put some things up about, and I'm going to say this wrong, my little boy, my son knows who I'm talking about, Nicki Minaj. Did I say that right, too?
Nicki Minaj.
Minaj. I was going to say that. I knew it. I just wanted to see if you knew it. I just was testing
don't ask
you.
Don't ask me why I know, but let's go on.
Well, I saw some stuff posted about her, man, and I read it. And he's a cool brother. He doesn't down anybody. He doesn't say any negative things. He just puts it out there, and it made me think. And then a couple of weeks later, you know, I took man in college. I was a big Beatles fan. Loved
right.
the Beatles, and I still like their music, to be quite honest with you. And this brother brought some stuff out, man, that I hadn't seen that
right.
just practically blew my mind.
Right.
And I got to reading it and looking over it, man, and I realized that that there was a connection. The Bible says there's principalities and powers. It's a connection, man, in some of the music. And tonight we're basically focusing on rap, hardcore rap. But this carries over, man, to rock, to all facets of music. It ain't just hip-hop. It ain't just us's. It carries over to all phases, man. And in hip-hop, I had to pull it up, man. I'm a little older, so I had to pull it up. It's a lifestyle for people basically between 13 and 30. It's a lifestyle. It includes music, videos, fashions, club scenes, and the media has embraced and adopted the hip-hop culture, which is cool. And before we get into it too much further and bring on my guest, I'm going to play something because I wanted you to understand, and I don't have it. I actually don't have it on my cue, so that's cool. I don't have to play it. I just say it. Obama was interviewed about hip-hop and thought it was okay. This was disturbed at some of the messages. And we're not here to bash rap music. Rap music is not the issue here. We're looking at the forces behind the storm. Rap music in itself is a beautiful thing. It's poetic. It's lyric. Everybody can't do it. So, you know, you can't run out and start a rap song and just expect it to go out. It is a beautiful form of expression, just like R&B, just like any other form of music, until you put that demonic element in it. So this brother here, man, I had pulled up a whole bunch of stuff, and I can't find it, but this brother here, man, has really impressed me. He is a powerful man of God. He didn't want me to really talk about it, and I'm not. But this brother is dangerous behind a mic. He pumps a good message. He does a lot of flow with R&B, Christian, rap in general. Don't have to be either one, but his messages are positive. He is a profound minister and man of God. He's a lot younger than me, but I look up to him because this young man has the attention of the youth. And anybody that you have or you find that has the attention of the youth, you need to bring them out front. And with being said, I want to welcome our first guest ever to Totally Taboo. We haven't had a guest yet, but this man is worthy of it. I want to welcome to the show Minister LP. Minister LP, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing excellent, man. I'm blessed to the Lord, highly favored, and a blessing. How about you?
All right. Hey, man, breathing in and breathing out, and so happy to have you on the show tonight, man. I'm glad you put aside a lot of things that you do, man, because I know you're busy. I know you are, like Eddie Murphy said, you're a business man. You got to keep moving. If you don't mind, man, just kind of tell us a little bit about. I tried to do a pretty good job of it, but just kind of tell us, man, how you got into your ministry.
I got into doing music. I gave my life to Christ back in 2001, January of 2001, and you know, I was an extreme fan of you know, rap music. You know, just the whole. You know, growing up, you know, when I was young, I mean, a lot of times we as African-American males, we don't have many role models or positive role models in our homes, especially, you know, being that 70% of all African-Americans come up in single-parent homes. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we're looking for idols. We're looking for father figures. We're looking for somebody to identify with. And whom I identified with was the rappers, you know, so whatever somebody said in a rap song, you know, I took educate, you know, I was educated by that. You know, I learned everything that I knew for the most part, just in all honesty, from a rap song. And so I identified with those rappers. So everything that I ever dealt with, you know, I made sure I based it around something I heard in a rap song. You know, so when I gave my life to Christ back in 2001, you know, I still continued on to listening to the rap music, and what I recognized, God began to show me how much it was affecting me. You know, it was slowing down my walk with the Lord, and it was just several elements that the Lord had dealt with me. So what I did was I got rid of all my music collection. I took all my CDs and I broke them up, threw them in a dumpster, you know, in the college dorm room, you know, and so everybody thought I was crazy. They thought I was losing my mind, but for whatever some odd reason, you know, within months, you know, my walk with the Lord began to go to the whole nother level, and I began to just, you know, one of my biggest problems, you know, was profanity, man, cursing, man, and once I got rid of that music and got it out of my system, you know, I was able to, you know, it just, you know, it left me, you know, I never had the desire to use profanity anymore. But anyway, maybe about 2 years after that, I was just in my room, just, you know, to myself, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me to write a rap song, and I was like, wow, you know, I've never done this before, and so I asked the Holy Spirit to sit down and teach me, and He sat down and taught me how to put a verse together. And I memorized that verse, and I saw that it was an opportunity to present the gospel or represent what I believed in such a way where, you know, young people would receive me in such a way where, you know, my peers would receive me, you know, but because unfortunately, you know, in my college experience when I gave my life to the Lord, you know, and I began to shy away from certain things, I was deemed as lame, I was called, you know, a square and, you know, every other kind of, you know, thing that you can be spoken of in that manner, you know,
right,
and I was
right.
always used to being cool, I was always used to being, you know, somebody that was in the in crowd, but anyway, I seen this opportunity to take the rap music and put it in such a way where it would be cool, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so I would do that, you know, I would take that verse that I memorized and, you know, the guys would be, you know, surrounding, you know, they'd be in a circle, which we call a cipher. They would be in a circle and they'd be rapping or whatever, and I'd jump in and I'd start rapping about Christ, you know, and they'd be like, wow, man, that's tight. You know, so anyway, that birthed what I do, you know. So from there, you know, I just begin to take it and get into talent shows and things of that nature, and I would win and got the opportunity to perform at a church. And in that process, a brother by the name of Old Timer, you know, he's a secular producer here in the city of Birmingham,
mm-hmm.
and he heard me in the barbershop, and he was like, man, you can come by my house and record. And from there, I would go by his house and record. We would do one song, and then we did another song. And he had a family member in Los Angeles, California, that was connected to some very key people in the music industry, and they
mm-hmm.
would send music to him on a consistent basis and ask him to check it out and get it to some people, whatever. But one particular time, they sent the CD out. They made a mistake and put one of my songs on it.
Oh,
and,
man.
The brother in L.A. heard the CD and was like, called them back. This was the first time he ever called them back here in Birmingham. That was the first time they ever called them back. And he was like, man, why y'all haven't been doing this? And he was like, what? He was like, man, I hear this song. Y'all talking about God. He was like, well, man, that ain't. Oh, man, we must have made a mistake and put LP song on there. He was like, man, who is LP? It was like, man, this is a gospel rapper that we work with. It was like, wow, you know. So within months, man, he had been hooked up with some key people in the music industry, put together some contracts and contacted us, flew us to L.A., and signed us to a record deal, you know. And so that was kind of the beginning of, you know, what I do.
Wow. But, you know, man, the thing about it is, and I agree with you. First of all, let me say that wasn't no mistake that happened with the music. Can you hear me? Am I okay?
I hear.
Okay, because I'm kind of my sound thing over here is kind of in and out. But that wasn't no mistake, man. You know, I think it was directed by the Holy Spirit to get you where you needed to be, man. But. After you said that you explained that how you got into the ministry. Now, I've noticed that you have a good connection with the youth, and you're a young man yourself. You're not old by any means, but I've noticed that you have a good connection with the youth. We attend the same church, which I don't mind shouting out, Faith Chapel Christian Center, Pastor Michael D. Moore. And I've noticed that you have used this as an advantage, and you seem to be able to connect with them. Was this something that you had before, or do you think it's something that the Holy Spirit gave you after you got into this, where you had changed everything, and He needed it for His ministry?
Well, see, what I did was, you know, being that my personal experience, how much music had influenced me negatively. With me knowing how that can be, now whenever I begin to grow, you know, I became about 24, 25 years old, you know, I begin to look at the young people and I begin to see, you know, everything. I look at them and I see myself, you know, I would see myself like, wow, you know, because I was extremely lost. You know, I wasn't really no bad dude, you know, I mean, I did crazy stuff, you know, what teenager doesn't. I did crazy stuff, you know, drank, smoke weed, you know, do all that other stuff or whatever, but I really wasn't a bad guy. But a lot of the things that I did it for no other reason but because I was extremely lost. You know, I was just lost. I had
no identity about myself, none. You know, and, you know, the father figure's job is to give that child his identity. And, you know, being that I didn't have a father, you know, I had no identity. And so whenever I look at young people and I see them with no identity, I see them, you know, just whatever they seeing in videos, whatever they seeing on TV, whatever they hearing in the music, they just doing whatever they're seeing, you know, and that's the influence that's in their lives. And so I look at them with an extreme amount of compassion. So what I've done with that compassion is, you know, I'm like, okay, I want to win those young people. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I played ball. You know, I played sports, and, you know, especially in football, what we would do, you know, our games would be on Friday nights, you know, and so on Monday, before we would start our game plan for our preparation for Friday night's game, what we would do is we would watch the film of the other team that we're going to play. And we would watch the film and we would study the film, you know, and they would have key players that we would watch, you know, his favorite play that he likes to do and the key receiver, you know, the route that he likes to run all the time. And, you know, we would study them. And I can remember my coach, I played defensive back, and my coach would make me play man-to-man, one-on-one with the key receiver every game. And mm-hmm. So I had to watch his every move, and I had to find out what his weaknesses was. You know, was he fast? Was he slow? Did he have a breakaway speed? Whatever. And I had to make the adjustments, and I had to adapt to it, and I had to be on it Friday night. So I take that same approach, you know, with this whole music industry. I look at these young people, and I'm like, I want to win them over. So I look at the opposing forces, what we experience in the music industry, and I study them. And so I find all the kinks in their armor. I find their weaknesses. I find, you know, everything. And what I do is I take those weaknesses and I point them out to young people. And if the young people really love this artist, I'll just simply point out the kinks in their armor and show that to the young people. And the young people are like, wow, well, I didn't see that. You know, and so I do it with a motivation of winning the young people over. And I also, the scripture tells us to be wise as a serpent, yet harmless as a dove. And one thing about a serpent, a snake will sit back and watch his opponent for hours, sometimes days, sometimes weeks, and watch their every move, you know, and see how fast they are, see when they eat, how they eat, you know. And that serpent will just creep up on them, and before you know it, it's right up on them, you know. And so I sit back and I watch videos. I listen to, you know, the secular station. I tune in maybe twice a week, listen to what's going on. I watch 106 and Park, a little BET or whatever, and I find out what's the hottest fashion and, you know, what's the hottest shoes that the kids are wearing and everything. And, you know, and I go and buy them. I go and buy the hottest shoes, and I go and buy the hottest little gear and whatever. You know what I mean? And whenever I walk in, they looking like, wow, who is this guy, you know? Or if they know me, they like, oh, man, LP be fresh, you know? And not knowing it, I'm just using that as, you know, I'm just creeping up on you, you know? I'm up on you, you know what I mean? And so anyway, man, I that's my way of making my connection with these young people. And, you know, that's just my thing, man. And God gave me the ability to do it. And so I just take advantage of it and I do it, man. It's for no other reason. I want to win them over. I want to encourage them. I want to teach them. I want them to see what I see, you know? So I hope that answers that question.
Amen. That answers that, LP. Let me say this. You are a true blessing. Our youth is our future. They are the future, you know, in the church. And God has something special in store and an anointing on you and your spirit and has given you that calling to place you over the youth. One thing that I'm very proud of is as the Lord has me pastoring in Maryland, I still hold the position as the youth pastor of my pastor's church. And I'm excited about that. And that was a blessing that kind of boomeranged me into where I'm at now. Boomerang, because we continue to go back and forth, and you have that anointing on you, you will always have a connection with the youth. That's not something you can study. That's not something that you can gain or learn how to do. You either have it or you don't, and it's a God-given blessing. I want to ask you one. First of all, would you mind sharing with how old you are?
I am 31 years old. I just turned 31 September the 14th of this year.
God bless. Amen. You're 31 years old. Now, I'm 42 years old. And being 42 years old, my youth and my time, my teenage years, was pretty much at the point at the inception of hip-hop. And when hip-hop
right.
was you know, it, at that time and in the inception in hip-hop, just this recently, last couple of days, we just actually celebrated the homegoing of one of my heroes, Heavy D, you know, who brought along and brought a pride to being the overweight lover in the house. Amen.
Right,
so,
right. I'm puffing right. stuff and all that stuff. I make you dance and prance and you huff and puff. There's just no way you can get enough of your big stuff. Big stuff. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying, made us big brothers not ashamed to get out there on the dance floor. But back in those times and at that inception, that was some of the most hard, some of the most hardcore things we would hear was Run DMC. And they was the hardest thing going at that time. And what they say, if a silly little kid put his finger in my plate, I'll be signing autographs for 3 months straight. You know, things of that nature. Now, at that time, that was something hard to say. I'm wondering, and I'm, you know what I'm saying? At what point did we get to this point? Because back then, at that time, I recall what was it? They used to call it the heavy metal, right? And
right.
you would hear in heavy metal, and I think it was a group called Iron Maiden, something of that nature. So when we come back, I want you to talk about progressive sort of demonic stage and have these sort of messages within the music.
My name is Bernadette Stannis, and you know me as Thelma from the TV show Good Times. And I am hanging out with Tony on the Soul of America Radio.
This is the Soul of America Radio.
Talk radio, coast to coast.
This is the Soul of America Radio.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast on the Soul of America Radio. You will not be able to call in tonight. So enjoy the broadcast coming up right now.
Let's talk about it. Your boy's been a Christian quite a few years.
Yeah.
Victory in faith, but I failed in my fears. I heard a lot of words that have tickled many ears. That's why I praise God for the word of being here.
Tonight's broadcast is featuring Minister LP talking about hardcore hip hop's demonic entity. And now I return you back to the pre-recorded show, Hardcore Hip Hop and the Influences on Our Children.
Greater than the angels, name superior to theirs. This is evil.
Chapter 1, Mr. K.
I'm leaning to the right. The light is where I'm running. I thought I wanted life, drunk, sexed out, and blooded. But all I really wanted was the one who really wanted. Fought death, beat it, gave his life to the public. I love it.
Hey, welcome
back, welcome back. And I think, Tuke, man, when we leaving out on, well, I think the music is kind of staticking you up. So next time I do that, man, I'm going to have to figure out a way to make that happen, because I think when I cut on the music, it's staticking you up a bit. But that's all right, man. That's all right. Devil is a liar. We're back, and the number is 323-784-9638. And we got a caller on hold, but before we get to you, it's a 510 area code. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Before we get to you, we kind of wanted to jump into the topic a little bit, and my brother Tuke was on that road, and before we get into it, I wanted to just play something. Y'all hear me? LP, Tuke, y'all got me?
We got you.
Okay. I wanted to just play something to sort of just get people's attention as to what we're hitting on tonight. And check this out. This is something from Jay-Z.
All right, this is from Jay-Z, DJ Danger Mouse, the great album, Lucifer 9 Interlude. Now, here is the song, Play Forward. Now, here is the same song played backwards.
Six.
I can introduce you to
murder,
Jesus.
Six.
Now, when you listened to it, what did you hear? Did it sound like 666? Murder, Jesus? Let's listen one more time.
Six.
Murder, Jesus.
Six.
All right, that's the sound bite. Now, I got a question for Minister LP. Now that was Jay-Z. Now we all know Jay-Z is revered in the rap industry. I know that, and I'm not a heavy rap consumer, but I do listen to some of it. Where you say you're going with it, and where it seems like he's going are two different things. Did I hear that wrong? Did we hear what we thought we hear? What I thought I heard?
Well, now watch this. When I say this, I mean I'm not trying to jump on Jay-Z's defense, but on this situation, I understand DJ Danger Mouse. Jay-Z had nothing to do with that remix of his album, the Black Album. He came out with the Black Album, and a lot of different people came out with different versions of the Black Album, because what happened was all of Jay-Z's lyrics were leaked from, you know, just the lyrics without the beat. They were leaked, and a lot of different people took those lyrics, made their own beats, and, you know, put Jay-Z's lyrics over them. Now, DJ Danger Mouse made that mix. Jay-Z has a song called Lucifer, you know, and in the song he's saying certain things. He says Jesus. Matter of fact, he quotes several scriptures in the song. Mm-hmm. But what DJ Danger Mouse did was take those different lyrics. He took Jesus, he took other things, and he chopped that stuff up, and he put it in that little part the way he, you know, way he did, and played it backwards to what we're, you know, well, when you would play it the other way, it would come out saying murder, Jesus, 666. You know, Jay-Z didn't say murder, Jesus, 666. Nah, Jay-Z didn't say that.
Okay.
He said Danger Mouse cut it up and put it together like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But even though Jay-Z does do blasphemous things and say blasphemous things, but at that point in time, Jay-Z didn't do that. DJ Danger Mouse did that.
Wow. And you know what? The thing about it is, that's all over YouTube. And
right.
The thing about it is, I even though I saw that up there, they did give him credit for it. What I've seen as spillover is the fact that everybody's saying, "Hey, there's a satanic message in this particular piece," and it sort of lifts it up. You know, it sort of pushes it to the top. And
right.
when people, it's almost like, you know, Christ said, lift me up among, you know, and a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid.
Right.
I still see an element, and I guess my question to you is, I didn't see the OJs taking the Earth, Wind & Fire song back in the day and chopping it up and making it say 666 that I know of.
Right.
Is there something, are we still holding our, are we still creating something for our youth that can be dangerous by doing this? And is this something that he can get away with? I mean, it doesn't seem right that he can do this, even though I've got some other stuff that Jay-Z put out that's questionable. But isn't this still the same thing? Aren't we still getting over lyrics that our children don't need?
Well, the thing of it is, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of the stuff that is being said in a lot of the current rap music, hip-hop music per se or whatever as of right now,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it is no different from a lot of the stuff that was said in the early 70s and the early 60s.
True.
You know, with a lot of the different stuff. But the only thing it is now is it's more prevalent and it's more out front and it's more open. And because it's been heard repetitively,
mm-hmm.
people have become desensitized to it. And
mm-hmm.
then on the flip side, because of the internet, because of YouTube and things of that nature, a lot of people have taken a lot of the stuff and have gone to certain extremes. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
a lot of times the thing, you know, people will hear a certain thing and, you know, they may think somebody said something or they may, you know, and then immediately, oh, that's the Illuminati or that, you know, a lot of people go there. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't even know what the Illuminati is, you know.
Right.
And
right.
so a lot of people go to extremes. Now, with the whole situation, what we just heard with DJ Danger Mouse, you know, again, that was the extreme I was talking about. But Jay-Z does, in a lot of his songs, say a lot of things that are questionable, that are blasphemous, you know. For an example, you know, in a song that he, you know, I think this was like in 96, he talked about how, you know, he never prayed to God, he prayed to Gotti, you know, talking about, you know, gangster Gotti, you know.
Right.
I never prayed to God, I prayed to Gotti. That's right, it's wicked. That's the life I live in. I ain't asking for forgiveness for my sins. You know, he said that back in like 96, you know,
right.
currently in the song Empire State of Mind, you know, he said, Hail Mary, you're a virgin. Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church ends.
And
know?
Check this out. Check this out.
This is from the Jay-Z song Empire State of Mind. Listen carefully to the lyrics. What the lyrics say is Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin, and Jesus can't save you. Life begins when the church ends.
Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin, and Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church ends. Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church ends. Jesus.
And it goes on and on, but yeah, that is one of the lyrics that he's getting. And my question, and let me say this, I want to do this. I had promised a caller. I wanted to get more into the topic first. But I had a caller that I accidentally went over to and promised him I'd get him on right away, the 510 area code. But so what I've noticed on your page, you brought out some other things about Lil Wayne and so forth, and I want to get into that. But it ain't just Jay-Z, is it? I mean, it's other people, right? It's not just Jay-Z, right?
No, it's everybody. It's the majority of the people that are making hit records as of right now, they are participating in this, and it's for no other reason. Unfortunately, a lot of these artists, they are, how can I put it, they are kind of forced into participating in this stuff. You know, it's either you get involved or you get forgotten about. You know, it's
right.
either you get connected or, you know, we don't sign you. You know,
right.
and so a lot of times they're forced into it. And then on the flip side, a lot of, you know, young African Americans are so, you know, just they want to be famous, they want to be known, they want to be accepted, they want to be seen. You know, whatever's presented to them, they take it, you know. I'm not going to talk much about it, but, you know, myself, my experience as an artist, you know, I was faced with several of this stuff and offered some of this stuff, and, you know, I refused. And, you know, so as a result, you know, I was kind of left out there with having to depend on God, which probably was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Wow. And I'm going to go to a caller. I got a two-minute clip that, man, you beat me to it, LP. But this is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name right, it's a filmmaker. Il Maloney, are you familiar with her? I wanted to play a two-minute clip, then I'm going to go to the caller. We're going to go to the lines. But this alludes to what you just said.
Filmmaker Il Maloney on the exploitation of black women in hip-hop.
Sexism exists in Western society. It has for centuries. It's existed elsewhere around the world for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years. So this is not to say that hip-hop is responsible for sexism or anything like that. But it is important to pay very close attention to the way that hip-hop has become not just a highly sexualized place alone, which it has become, but a space where the exploitation of black women has become almost required for artists to develop an identity, to develop a sense of status, to be a powerful, desirable, successful black male image in hip-hop. You almost have to exploit black women as part of your performance. It's not something you do on the side. You have to do it. It's almost a requirement. And this is very troubling because black women are already coming out of a history of being sexually exploited, of being associated with sexual excess and deviance. And now, in order to have a space in video culture, to be participants in the industry at large, they have to basically co-sign an exploitative conception of who they are in order to participate. And this is a very troubling thing that we're having a difficult time dealing with because no one with a progressive point of view wants to beat up on young black men any further because they themselves are facing so many pressures and so much exploitation that to accuse them of contributing to the half of the community's oppression is a difficult thing to do. So there's a lot of silence about it. There's a lot of, you know, tiptoeing. But we need to point out how these artists are really, really middlemen, that the big winners here are the industry, that they're making money off of the deeply destructive representations of black people, especially black women, that is unprecedented. You know, if Puffy's got $400 million, we know that the industry at large is making hundreds of millions of dollars off of these representations.
And so you nailed it, LP. You nailed it. You knocked that one out the park. Area code 510, you with us?
Yes, I'm still here, brother.
All right, my brother, I'm sorry you had to wait, man, but go ahead with your question or comment. We got LP and Tuke on the line with you.
What's up, Tuke? How you doing, bro?
This has got to be Brother Gray.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing?
God bless you, Doctor, for tuning in and for showing your support. Doc, what question you got for us tonight?
My question, I have a question and a comment. My comment, rap has gotten away from its simplicity when it first came out.
Right.
You know, some heavy D, God bless him. Will Smith. Kool Moe Dee, Sugar Hill. It's gotten way away from that. It seems like everybody today is Billy Bad behind.
Right.
And, you know, some of these guys are soft as a newborn baby. Let's be real. But the times that we're living in, if you don't cast that,
right,
if you're a bad individual, you're not going to sell anything, just as you stated before.
Right.
My question is, how do we get back in some of its simplicity?
Well, I can answer that. I can answer that off the top. The way we can get back to simplicity is by us. I don't want to make this a black or white thing, but if we as African Americans can obtain and gain and pull together our own resources, and at the same time, you know, trust God and believe God for divine protection. If we can do that, then we can project whatever type of art forms that we want to. But as of right now, while the media, you know, the people, the big wigs who control the industry, majority of them are Europeans of European descent, Jewish descent. As long as they're controlling everything, they have an ultimate goal, which is to infiltrate the African American community with these different images, and what these different images have done has impacted us in such a way is basically, you know, to just to put us in a place of self-destruction. And, you know, and at the same time, they make a lot of money on portraying this type of image because in the African-American community, being that a lot of the African-American males have no positive male role models, they see these rappers and they see these images and they identify with them and they buy into it. Whereas on the other hand, most white people that listen to and consume hip hop music, they see it as entertainment.
Right.
We see it as a way of life. They see it as entertainment. And so if the media say, well, we're gonna back up and we're gonna make it positive and make everybody be nice and make everybody, you know, be simple, you know, and, you know, from this perspective, the African-American kids will say, man, this is lame. And, you know, the white people will no longer see it as entertainment anymore.
Lord.
Wow.
Okay, I understand
you
that.
Know,
okay, but now my other comment, I have one more comment. I'm an old school guy, R&B, old school, And that's when people were sitting down playing instruments and writing and creating songs.
Right.
There's sometimes the songs that they have or the raps that they have today, there's no substance to it.
Right.
And my thing is, if you're not creative, if you can't even create a rhyme, I guess the only way you could do is be a gangster rapper and use the N and the B word and then you just become famous, and that's what sells, right?
Right, because the purpose, the overall purpose of that is, let's get deep into this. You know, can I keep it real, y'all?
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay, well, let's just keep it real on the matter, man. You know, back in the 70s, you know, whenever affirmative action and all that stuff was taking place or whatever, you know, a lot of the white people at that time began to get fearful because they were fearful that a lot of the African Americans would begin to take all the jobs. So what the industry did, they began to throw out the blaxploitation movies and, you know, where everybody was fly, everybody was a pimp, and, you know, Ron O'Neill. You know, I talk to anybody that's 50-plus, and I ask them, hey, back in the 70s, did you want to be Ron O'Neill? Oh, yeah, I wanted to be Ron O'Neill, man.
Yeah.
You know, and the purpose of that was to have us wearing the big crazy hats and, you know, doing all, you know, Ron O'Neill made snorting cocaine look cool, you know. And the purpose of that was to keep them unemployable, you know. And if that kept them unemployable, then that would keep all the good jobs for the white people. You know, but at near the end of the 70s, early 80s, a lot of the black power groups and, you know, they were kind of like a little upset about that. And they were like, you know, we need to see a difference. So they was like, okay, look, we'll give you the Cosby Show. So we got the Cosby Show. You know,
right.
That's when black people begin to see a positive image of the African-American experience.
Right.
Then we got a different world, you know, where black people was like, wow, well, you know, I can get in school. And then you got rappers like the Poor Righteous Teachers and rappers like X-Clan and rappers like Public Enemy, you know, who was, you know, fight the power. We got to fight the powers that be, you know, and like, man,
right.
Black people begin, you know, too black, too strong, and black people begin to educate themselves, and the rap music became intellectual, and, you know, the rappers began, you know, were getting very artistic with their rhyme schemes and stuff like that. People were becoming thinkers. And at this very point in time, black people, we reached almost an apex, you know, and right at that point in time, boom, they gave us movies like Colors. They gave us movies like Minister Society. They gave
exactly.
us Boys in the Hood. You know, they took
New Jack City
off the air. They gave us New Jack City, introduced crack cocaine into our neighborhoods and stuff like that.
Right.
And once that stuff started happening, you begin to see a decline on the musical element aspect of it, you know? And
right.
so now in today's rap music, the more popular rappers are the more dumber rappers, you know? That same stuff that's on like a second grade level, you know.
Yeah.
And the purpose of that is to cause our young African Americans to be dumbed down.
Wow.
So now, you know, as now you talk to some young brothers and you listen to them, you like, what you say, man? You know, I got a strain, you know, to sit and listen to a lot of these guys, man, and I listen to them and I weep, man, because everything that they're saying is stuff that they're hearing in music, and you know, some of the dumbest guys, you know, that are making the hit records, you know, they have the best beats, but when you listen to their lyrics, you're like, what did that dude just say?
Exactly.
Like, what is he saying? Nobody knows, but unfortunately, nobody cares because it sounds good.
Right.
What Greg
was talking about, and he hit on a very, very interesting point. We were so adapted and used to the rap game having a storyline behind it. And
right.
you would put on, you know what I'm saying, back then you would throw your cassette tape in, and you know what I'm saying, and you would listen to a story being told to you. And it was simply poetry in a new art form. There seems to be nothing artistic about what's going on with an LP. I'm glad you nailed that, because there's a reason why, you know, they're using the Jay-Z's of the world, because if it solely came from, well, what's his name, DJ Danger Mouth, was that what his name was?
Right.
Okay. Well, if it solely came from DJ Danger Mouth, it doesn't, you know, the enemy doesn't have that great of a platform to get it across. So the point that I don't want to lose is that regardless of whose name was on it, and of course Jay-Z, Mr. Money Making, in tribute to Heavy D, Mr. Money earning Mount Vernon, because his name is on it, we all know about it. But if
right,
it was solely
right.
DJ Danger Mouth, we wouldn't know about it. I'm gonna tell you something, man. I'm gonna tell you, I was hurt. I mean, for one, when Heavy D passed, you know, it was almost a piece of meat, because you know us big brothers took that personally. But nonetheless, when Heavy D, CNN ran coverage and footage of the funeral. Do you know at Heavy D's funeral who they showed pictures of first and foremost and only was Will Smith and Jay-Z? And they didn't talk about Heavy D. They talked about the fact that Will Smith, who is supposedly, I'm not really sure, but they reported that he's a probable Scientologist, and that Jay-Z is a non-Christian, and I don't know how true that is. But because of the messages that they find in his music, the fact that they showed up at not to support their brother, but that they showed up at a Christian church was the big story.
Wow.
And you know, unfortunately, that's the way the media tends to twist things. We got another caller. When we come back, I want to get another question for you, because we're going to come back right after the break. Y'all hang on, we'll be right back.
You're listening to tonight's show by phone. You can speak to the host by pressing 1. Right now, that will put you in the caller's queue and allow the host to see that you want to speak. If you're listening via internet and want to call in, dial 323-784-9638 and then you press 1. Otherwise, you can dial that number and listen to the entire show.
You're listening to Soar.
Chris was right. Talk radio coast to coast. This is the Soul of America Radio. 323-784-9638. Soar gives you 1 minute of music from that man of God, LP.
It was time for me to settle it down. The fast living got slow, I had to mellow it down. So, met a few women that intrigued my eye, but they wasn't what I needed deep down inside. Cause from the outside, they were everything I needed, but what was inside is what made them uncompleted. I felt defeated, but I learned to be patient. What I went through in the past had to be worth wasting. Appreciating what I learned from mistakes, able to stand firm cause I learned what it takes. Find the one that I can call my wife, the one that I've been waiting for all my life. I saw this woman that caught my interest, saying to myself, this is God who sent this woman in my past. I knew it was on, wanted to pull her to my side and start singing this song.
We stand on with God on our side. We can lose with God in our life. We can lose with God on our side. We can lose. We can lose.
Is that boy bad or what, too?
Doc, he is awesome, Doc. That, and LP, let me say this. Well, we probably should take this off the air, but you're going to have to get me some of them CDs out this way, you know, because, you know, I'm on both coasts. So I want to promote you in California. I want to promote you in the state of Maryland, and I'm going to take you out and promote you some of your CDs out in the bluegrass state of Kentucky. So I'm excited. So after the show, we make sure we contact and get some mailing addresses so you can get me some of them LPs out so I can let the world know who LP is. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, brother. Well, we got another caller on 707. I think it's Brother Levi. Levi, welcome to the show, man. What's up?
Hey, what's up? What's up? Hey, fascinating topic, fascinating show. I've just been intrigued listening to your brothers deal with this topic this evening. I guess I got more of a comment and a partial question is, and that is, you know, you guys have hit on the fact that, you know, I listen to music that goes all the way back to the 1920s, and issues about sex and some of the other risque issues have always been in music, but that's been balanced out by the fact that people had parents at home, they went to church, and they heard other messages that could balance some of the stuff that they heard in their music every day. And then, you know, we hit on the civil rights movement and all of that, and I guess my question is looking at these issues, one thing that black people are very good at is we are good at protesting against attacks against our community that comes from outside of the community. So when the man or the white man or folks like that produce something, come up with something that is offensive to our community, we are very good at organizing against that. The problem with rap music is how do we as a community organize and to say that, yeah, this is a brother, and this brother maybe he comes from the hood and he's just trying to make a living for himself, but he is producing a product similar to a drug dealer that is bad for our community. And we need to organize and protest against what he is producing, just like we would protest against affronts against our community that comes from without. Because I think we need to do that in order to deal with some of these negative images that gets into the mind of a lot of African-American young men that's in a lot of this rap music.
Good question. LP.
Well, what I would say is the way we could do that, and a lot of people, I was just talking about this subject today of what you're saying. I would venture to say, in order for us to do that, we're gonna have to get some major league resources in order to have a voice, because you know, the scripture tells us that, you know, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words go unheard. So if we don't have the adequate resources in order to have a platform to speak on these issues within our own community, if we don't have those resources to have a platform to do so, we'll be, you know,
at square one again, you know. So I definitely agree with your comment, you know, but it goes again, man, we as a people, you know, instead of taking our monies like a lot of us are saving up right now to go and blow thousands of dollars on Black Friday and, you know, the average family, you know, which is in poverty right now, they're going to end up spending $2,500 to $3,000 on Christmas gifts when we could be making better financial decisions so that we can put ourselves in a position to build resources and build wealth so that we can have platforms to speak on things of that nature. I mean, I'm not trying to throw stones, you know, I'm just, you know, that's just what we are.
Right.
Yeah, but see, LP, this is the thing. We have to, a lot of us in every aspect of the things that we do, at our society at large at this point really don't know what good is. And we really don't know good when we looking at it. We don't know good when we experiencing it. Not only has the music been dumbed down, you know, life in general has been dumbed down to where some of the most simplistic things 10 years ago are considered luxuries on today.
Wow.
So with us having, you know, right now at this moment, we have four black men on this phone who are teachers and doers of the word. Part of the problem with our youth is they aren't being taught about what's good to them. They are being subjected, just as we all were during our adolescent stages, subjected to adhering and surrendering to the pressures of peer pressure. And peer pressure is telling them what's good. And most of them, and I truly believe this, if you can't do better until you know better. You can't know better until you talk better. And you can't be taught better until you come. We have to find a way to draw them in, to teach them better, so that when this foolishness is fed to them, they'll naturally regurgitate it.
Mm. Wow. Hey, Levi, did you get that question answered, my brother?
Yeah. That's a good insight on it. But like you say, you know, it takes a village to raise children, and, you know, it's just that thing where the village can rally together when somebody attacks the village from the outside. But the villagers have got to figure out how to pick the poison out, because sometimes the poison is inside the village and not coming from the outside. And that's the thing we got to deal with in educating young men and doing what we can to educate our youth that this stuff, even though it's being produced by somebody in your neighborhood, is not good for you. We have to let our young men know that, understand that, and get the fact that everybody who is black does not have your best interests at heart.
Wow, man, and I appreciate your call, man. That's why I'm holding your final check, man, because we're trying to get you back over here. Hint, hint. Thanks a lot, brother. You always shed some beautiful light on the subjects. We got area code 228 on the phone. You there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, man, what's your comment or question? You got LP, Tuke, and Tony on the phone.
And my question is to LP. I'm representing the Gulf Coast. 35 years old. Hip hop, you know what I'm saying? My question for the next step in the Christian hip hop community, what do you think the Christian hip hop community should be? More of a standalone industry and come up with God's help and be separated from the secular industry? Or do you think the Christian rapper should more or less influence or infiltrate the secular aspect of it?
That's an excellent way. I love the way you put that. When you think about the term, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now, where that term actually came from was like this: the Roman Empire was a major kingdom, and one thing about a kingdom,
a kingdom, whenever a kingdom, whenever the people over that kingdom would go into a different territory and take over that territory, what they would do is they would influence the people in such a way to where whatever the current thing they were doing at that time, because of the influence of that kingdom that took over them,
right.
that area that got taken over, they had to adapt to what was whatever that kingdom that took over them, they had to adapt to what they're doing. And so we, being the kingdom of God, we have to have a mentality that we are setting a standard in such a way. You know, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like yeast. And one thing about yeast will work its way into and get its way all through the dough, you know. And so what we have to do is we have to go in, infiltrate, and set a standard and take over, per se, and allow what we have to offer, which is we have power, we have strength, we have stability. If we can stand in that authority, we will be that yeast, and they will have to basically conform to what we are. But unfortunately, we've been fed the rib sandwich that we in the church are inferior. We've been taught to believe that, you know, well, you know, the world got all the resources and they always going to have the resources. That is a lie. God said the silver is mine, the gold is mine. You see what I'm saying? So we riding with God. You know what I mean? He have all the resources. The world is carrying the resources as of right now. But I don't know about you, but the scriptures that I read tells me that the wealth of the wicked laid up for the just. So as we begin to come into the kingdom reality and walk in the reality of the fact of what God is trying to get into our hands, once we can function in that, see, as of right now, the world, the secular industry is suffering. Their record sales are going down. But in the kingdom, our record sales are going up. And so you see, you got secular artists that are trying to sign gospel artists right now because they're trying to tap into that market, because the gospel market is making so much money right now. So as of right now, they are literally trying to do as the Romans do, per se. And we being the kingdom, we would be those Romans that, you know, to make a, you know, just using a play on words, per se. But so, I mean, I'm glad you said that, Charles. That really, really made a lot of sense, and it just clicked as soon as you said it. So, you know, I perceive that you have been with God.
Amen.
Did that get your question answered, man?
No doubt.
All right, man. We appreciate you listening and calling in. We got another caller, but what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna take a quick break. And then we're going to come back and get to a few more people. Then I got a message I wanted to ask LP to bring to us. And hang on, don't go nowhere. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Soul of America Radio. And we got a special guest, LP. I'm Tony, and Tuka's on the line. We'll be right back.
America Radio.
You're listening to Soar.
Before we get back to the show, let me invite you to www.soulofamericaradio.com. Get information about the show, segments, the staff, anything you want to find out. And now, if you're listening to the show right now and want to speak to the host, press 1 if you're listening via phone, and you will be connected to the host. If you're listening over the internet and want to speak, pick up your phone and dial 323-784-9638 and press 1, or either just hang on and listen to the show.
1 minute of music from LP right here on Soar.
Check it out, there's a place I wanna go. I know you wanna go, it's off the hook. Brother's always on, it's popping, and the music keeps going, and there ain't no stopping up. On the scene, everybody looking good, and everybody feeling good, cause they made it out the hood. Energy pumping all around the place, and you won't find one person with a frown on their face. Old school, new school, and young, they got a party going on, they long ago begun. There's a vibe in the place, and it's moving. Everybody shouting, dancing, and moving. Look how everybody getting buck in the place, and ain't nobody thinking about shooting up in the place. You wanna see the things that I'm trying to share? Come on, take my hand, I can take you there. Hey, no crying, no lying, no tears, no pain, no hurt, no shedding of fear. No crying, tears wiped away. Everybody feeling good, it's a bright day. No worries, it's a beautiful thing. We gon' dance, we gon' holler, we gon' shout and sing.
Man, I love that one. Absolutely love it. We got area code 662. I believe that's Tiki on the line. What's up? Is this Tiki?
That is. This is Tiki, honey.
Tiki! You know
Tiki.
I had to say it. What's on your mind tonight, Tiki?
Wow. God, it's so many things on my mind. Honestly, I don't know where to even to begin. First and foremost, that last commentary by Tuke. Wow, totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. But I had something.
Can you say that again?
Say. I agree with Tuke.
Oh, that's what I thought you said. Go ahead.
Brother LP, you have no idea. You are experiencing a landmark.
I'm telling you, this one for the books, man. Go ahead.
But what I wanted to say to LP, I've been listening to the show since the beginning, and I think the Soar family, which I'm a part of, and various friends, people are well aware now that I will say flat out that I don't go to church, or as I like to say to Levi, I don't do church. You know, he was like, you don't need to do it, just go. But years ago when I walked away from the church, I did so because I was so, so disappointed in the things that I saw happening and the issues in the community that weren't being addressed, where the church could be a spiritual leader. I had started to perceive their activities as rapists. They were taking. They weren't giving. So with that, I walked away. I put it down. When I got disappointed in what I saw on TV, I turned it off, and I took a 10-year hiatus from television to the point that I didn't even own one. So I have TV, but I have it on the level of football. But what I wanted to say to you, LP, it has been a long time. And when I say a long time, I mean a long time since I've heard anyone speak about their journey, about their road, about what they're doing in the church, that it has inspired me.
Wow.
And I say that because I considered myself uninspirable. I really did. And I would sit in church, man, and I would see people shout and get happy and go through different things, and I would just sit there like, what is wrong with them? So my mother told me, she was like, Tamika, things, you're easily hurt. She said, baby, still waters run deep. And so the things that would hurt me or offend me, I would turn away from. But what I want to say about this music and what I've heard you guys talk about, what it would take to get us back to where we need to be, I don't know if you guys would agree with this, but from what I've seen, one of the things that turned me off is we have broken the cradles of life, meaning women. We've broken them. Black women in this society are broken. They're the givers of life. They're the cradles of life, and they're broken. And there was a young woman in Selma, Alabama, recently, in this past year, that lost her life. One of the witnesses to the car accident, the one car accident that she had, said that when she came past him driving with her baby in the back seat, the one thing he remembered was the music was blasting. She was playing that music so loud that he could actually hear it in his car with his windows up. So she went past him and went around a curve and missed it and ran off the road, and she was killed in that car. And, you know, when they finally got her out and the baby was in the back seat and screaming and hollering, the music was still going, and the baby came out without a scratch.
Mm.
And I was like, what was playing that could have convinced this mother to play music at such a volume? And they have her baby in the back seat, a six-month-old baby in the back seat where the speakers are located. And I see that all around me. I'm like, what is in this music that is driving these people to these extremes? And it's Satan. It is. It is really Satan. So how do we get our children? We talked about resources, right, about what it would take to get us back to this place. But how do you get your child to turn off the radio if the mama is controlling the volume?
Mm.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's kind of like a target that the enemy has had in our communities, and it's been our women. And the reason why, see, he's the enemy got in his mind, oh, I already got the man. You know, I already got him eliminated out of the family. I've already got him put in a place where he's not getting good education. He's not getting educated properly. He's not being taught how to be a man. He's not getting, you know, all the essential things that he needs. The enemy looks at it from that perspective. He say, I got him. Okay, now let's deal with the woman. And if you look at it in the if you're familiar with the Willie Lynch theory,
I am.
Willie Lynch theory. Okay, you remember the first thing they did was they broke the man first. They broke him first.
Right.
And the second thing was to break the woman. You know, the process that they did, and as a result, the children, the offspring, were impacted because
right.
First of all, the woman was impacted because of what she saw done to the man. And then because of what was done to the woman, the children was impacted. And so with this music that you're speaking of, there's an artist by the name of Gucci Mane, and he has a song called I'm a Dog. And in this song he's saying, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog. I'm a beat her like a dog, treat her like a dog, feed her like a dog, then pass her to my dogs. Now, unfortunately, when this song is played, it's usually women that's vibing to it and that's saying, oh, this is my jam. And they have been fed the rib sandwich that, you know, they are just objects of lust. They've been, you know, they truly believe, you know, that's their role, you just to be dogged out and just to be passed around. And when they hear the stuff in music, they've been so desensitized to it. So whenever it's happening to them in real life, it's not really a big deal. You know, I can remember thinking back to whenever I was younger. You know, a lot of the guys that I dealt with, you know, it would be something that we would have something called a set out. If you're not familiar with a set out is, that's one girl, she allowed herself to be passed around to several guys in one setting. And
when I was in school, it was called a train, but go ahead.
Yeah. But, you know, praise the Lord, I never participated in a train or a set out because
right.
I was taught by an older cousin when I was younger. But anyway, my friends would have this set out, and, you know, this girl would just allow herself to just be passed around like that. And as I grew older, I would think back and I would think, like, wow, what was going on in her mind at that time? You know, why would she allow herself to be dealt with in that way? And what I learned was, at that point in time, a lot of our young ladies, you know, they don't have a father in their lives. You know, mama there, she either out clubbing all night or she working all night and all day, so she's not there. So a lot of times, these women, they just looking for love, they just looking for acceptance or whatever. You know, and so whenever they get put in a situation like that where they got all these guys on them, they feel loved and accepted at this time. You know, so to hear in a song them being degraded in such a way, it's kind of like they're so desensitized that it doesn't really bother them. And unfortunately, a lot of times they're not even listening to the lyrics. They caught up in the beat. And I was just talking to a young man about this today. You know, there's a producer out. His name is Lex Luger. Lex Luger is producing tracks for some of the hottest rappers right now. And a Lex Luger track, when it comes on, when you hear it, it's so hypnotic. It's hypnotic. You know, and it just grabs you. You know, it just grabs you. And one thing I've learned is, if you can look at, a lot of people don't know this, but music deals with you in your soulish realm.
Right.
It deals with the soul. If you can think back in the scriptures, David, when he would play, you know, Saul, the King Saul brought David in, and the King Saul was troubled by a spirit. And the scripture talks about how when David would play, he would play his music, the spirit would leave. And music has that type of impact. So I believe that the opposite is true. If a spirit can be played out of you, I believe a spirit can be played into you.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
That is so true. I hope that answered your question, Tiki. We press for time, and I appreciate your call. Before we get out, we don't have much longer. LP, I wanted you to address something, to give you a scenario. I've got a family member that just loves. I was talking to you about it earlier, and you said, who is this cat? A guy named Tyler, the Creator. Has a song called Yonkers, which is one of the most horrific songs. He eats roaches on the songs, and I asked him, he vomits, he hangs himself at the end of the song, and the words are just awful. And I asked him, I said, well, when you listen to that song, what message do you get? And he thought for a moment, and he said, to kill people and burn houses. Now, I didn't hear that, but I heard some awful, awful, awful stuff. I mean, he cursed. I didn't even know they had curse words like that. And he talked about women and beating them like Tiki was saying. Now, I didn't hear that, but he obviously heard it. Loves the song. Loves a lot of the other songs that may have very offensive lyrics. Wiz Khalifa promotes marijuana usage, I mean, extensively. Now, I'm going somewhere with the question. To bring it back home to my era, a little bit different, I was hooked on Prince. I mean, hooked on, it was hypnotic.
Right.
Some of the, he had a song entitled Head, H-E-A-D,
right, yeah.
I don't need to go no further. But
right,
the beat was so, it grabbed me, man, and it just, I couldn't let go. And the last wreck I remember that I had in a car, I was playing Sexy Dancer. Just had it up to the highest knob. We didn't have stuff in the trunk back in those days, but I just turned it up to 10. And when I had the wreck, my car flipped, roll was total. I mean, everybody thought I was dead, but guess what? Sexy Dancer was still playing. So
wow.
To wrap this up, I want to say, now, I looked at this young man, and he loves this. Now, I've tried to introduce Christian rap, and that don't seem to work. I've tried to do the instrumentals of some of this hard stuff. That don't seem to work. What would you tell parents out there? And looking at the lines, we've got quite a few people out there, and I'm sure some of them are middle-aged or not as close to the rap industry, but hear it around their kids and saying, hey, just stop listening to it. Where had you told me to stop listening to Prince, I would have stopped listening around you, but I'd have went around the corner somewhere and fired up, you know, his music. And I use Prince because, to me, some of his music, although it wasn't the same as some of this other filthy stuff we hear, it still had a message at one time that I think was questionable. And what would you say to people that are middle age on up, and to youth even, that really understand the fact that there are some satanic messages in music, which I don't mind you giving examples of, and the parents knowing this, but they can't seem to get out of that rhythm of, I take your iPod and you erase it and you put some more, take it, put some more, take it, put some more. What would you offer a family in that situation?
I would encourage them to do their homework on some of the things that's being listened to, you know, and sit down and listen to the lyrics and evaluate what's being said, you know, before you tell your kids, oh, turn that stuff off, that's devil music, you know. No, 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 no. Listen to it. Do your homework on what's being said. And take it and break that stuff down. See, I like to listen at certain things. Like, for example, you're talking about Prince. Let's talk about Prince right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you, whether you know it or not, Prince was a studier of this guy who I was talking about with the whole Lil Wayne thing. He was a studier. He was a studier. He was a student of Aleister Crowley.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. And the reason why I know this is because, you know, Aleister Crowley, he had a book. For those of you who don't know who Aleister Crowley was, Aleister Crowley was a very influential occultist. You know, he was a ceremonial magician, and he set out on a course to this guy was back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He set out on a course. He said he wanted to meet Satan from himself.
Oh, wow.
So he joined himself to every secret organization that's known to man. He got involved with every type of occultic magic, sex magic, anything like that. He got involved with the seances. And what he did was he came up with an understanding that, and he proclaimed this, that one can become a genius in music by studying Satanism.
Wow.
He said one can become a genius in music by studying Satanism.
That's deep.
And one of his something that he said in one of his books called The Book of the Law, he said it was a chapter called Do As Thou Wilt. That is the whole of the law. In other words, what he was teaching was, you know, do what you want to do. You're your own God. You know, you do what you want to do. Nobody can stop you. You rebel. Do whatever you want to do. Nobody can do what you want to do. But anyway, in his book, he has a book called 777, and in his book, it's teaching you how to channel spirits, how to literally channel spirits. And for those of you that have done your research in the scriptures, you know, back when the flood came after the angels had came down and slept with the daughters of men. They had sex with the women in the earth, and they came, they had children, and these children were called Nephilim beings. These Nephilim beings were half angel, half human, and they had a lot of different knowledge and information on technology, and they begin to, you know, to teach the people and just do all types of corrupt things. And this is why God looked at the earth and said he needed to flood the earth, because he had to rid the earth of those beings. But anyway, once you destroy those beings have a spirit, and one thing about a spirit, you can't kill a spirit. And those spirits still roam the earth. Aleister Crowley learned how to tap into those spirit beings and learned how to channel those spirit beings. And in this book, he teaches how to channel spirits. And the research of this guy led you as an artist into the fact that you can become a genius in music by studying Satanism.
Let me say this before you go on, man, because this is deep. I don't know if y'all really grasping this. When I first saw you put this on your page, my son and I researched it. And you remember I said I was a Beatles fan, right?
Right, right.
Explain that aspect that you were talking about with the connection between Lil Wayne and the Beatles with this.
Okay, Lil Wayne was on the cover of Vibe magazine, and he had on this attire, which was a military colonel's attire.
Right.
You know, with the hat on or whatever. So whenever I saw the magazine, immediately alarms went off. I was like, whoa. And the reason why the alarms went off the way they did was because I understood what that attire was about.
Right.
The Beatles had an album years ago called Sgt. Pepper.
Right.
And on the front cover, if you do your research, look on the front cover of that album.
Mm-hmm.
They had on that sergeant attire.
Sure.
And also all the different people, they had different pictures of people that influenced, that they felt influenced them. And all over in the corner, the left-hand corner, there's a picture of this guy, Aleister Crowley.
Now, that blew my mind. I looked it up, and you are absolutely right.
Right.
And look, I got on the phone and called LP. I might have been on the phone. I researched Sergeant Pepper. That album alone changed the entire culture of America. It got us the long hair. It got us the hippie, make love, not war, the weed, the whole nine. It took us from that, I wish we all could be kind of, it took us from that to this whole drugged out hippie movement. That one album was the first album documented that recorded a wild guitar solo with the actual first the first song. And get this, I'm gonna let LP tell you this. What's the thing about the 20 years ago today? That's how it starts out. What was that?
He said 20 years ago today, Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. And exactly 20 years before that album was released, Aleister Crowley died.
Wow. So what you got is you got an album that blew the socks off of the recording industry in September of 1967. At the end of 1967. You got an album that changed America overnight. Matter of fact, Brian Wilson, lead singer for the Beach Boys, wrote in his book that when he heard the first song on Sgt. Pepper album, he quit working on all his stuff. And a lot of the other doo-wop guys just put their stuff down. So what you're saying is that this guy said that if you became a genius, you could become a genius by studying Satanism and then look at what it did for Jimi Hendrix with his particular style, that same dress. Look at what the Beatles flaunted him on their album cover. Man, you blow my mind with this, man. I tell you, this is amazing.
But yeah, man, you know, so once I begin to see that and make the connection, Jimi Hendrix, he did the Sgt. Pepper thing, and, you know, once I saw Lil Wayne with that attire on, then I also, if you can do your research, look at Lil Wayne's documentary. Some years ago, Lil Wayne stopped writing. He stopped writing with a pen and pad.
Mm-hmm.
What he would do is he'd go in the studio, he'd get high, get drunk, wasted or whatever, and he'd turn the beat on, and he'd just sit there and just kind of just meditate a little bit. Then he'd just go to the mic, and just the lyrics were just there.
Wow.
Jay-Z also, in his documentary, he talked about how what he does is, you know, he just turned the beat on, he cracked the door open. This was out of his own mouth. He said he cracked the door open and let God come in. And then he get his Rain Man on. Now, if you do your research on Rain Man, Eminem spoke about Rain Man some years ago. He had a song. He talked about Rain Man. He said that he's possessed with this devil, and this devil's name was Rain Man. And so, anyway... These guys, they don't even write anymore. These lyrics and stuff like that would just come. Now, also, a lot of people that studied Aleister Crowley, what they would do was they would get high off acid trips. A lot of these rock bands from the 70s, what they would do, they would get high off acid trips and stuff like that, and then musical notes, lyrics, everything would just come. You know, it would just come. You know?
Wow.
And,
you know, Prince. Did I heard him say this over? I can't prove it, but he mentioned that when he did "Do Me Baby," that was a big hit. He said he locked himself in the studio naked,
yeah.
And that's how most of the lyrics and the expression came out of "Do Me Baby." Just locked himself in the studio naked.
I was gonna get to Prince. I was gonna get to Prince. Matter of fact, let's deal with Prince right now. If you could think back to his song 1999,
mm-hmm.
Remember that song 1999? What was the first lyrics in that song?
Ooh, God, I forgot. What was it? I was dreaming when I wrote this. So sue me if I
there
go.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. He said he was dreaming when he wrote it. Now watch this. A lot of times when they did spirit channeling, they would do it in their sleep.
That is
and they would get music in their sleep. Michael Jackson he channeled spirits, and he would get music in his sleep.
Wow. Wow.
Michael Jackson was a heavy student of Aleister Crowley, because Aleister Crowley taught a lot of the Kabbalah stuff out of the Kabbalah, you know, Kabbalistic magic and mysticism and stuff like that. Michael Jackson was heavy into magic. He was heavy into that stuff. You know, if you think about the song that he wrote, Black or White, when you hear that song, you think he's talking about people. No, he's talking about black magic or white magic. You have black magic, you have white magic. And a lot of people practice either black magic or white magic. Black magic is supposedly the bad magic. White magic is supposed to be the good magic.
That's another show, but you're right.
That's another show.
I was just saying, you know, to make that connection with, you know, with Lil Wayne, if you look at the, on the, you know, inside of the Vibe magazine, it tells you that it says specifically, Lil Wayne is channeling the spirit of Jimi Hendrix with his attire.
Wow. God. Wow. I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Lord.
Man. You know, we got a caller. I don't want to hold on. Let's go ahead and get this caller out the way. 510, you're welcome to the show.
You know, this is Greg again. How you doing, bro?
All right. What you got, man?
Hey, man.
All right. Y'all getting way too deep with this here black and white stuff here now. And especially with my man Prince, because that's my time period, too.
I know,
and
right?
We all know the brother was strange, and there's a lot. Most musicians are strange.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
So, you know, to bring up my comment was, you know, when I thought instead, when Michael made that black and white video, I actually thought he was talking about black and white people.
No. No. If you listen at the end of the song, whenever he's, when the people, their faces are morphing, he said, it's black, it's white. If you're struggling to get by, it's black, it's white. You know, he's saying if you're struggling to get by, you know, because a lot of people get involved with black magic, white magic whenever they're struggling, because in black magic, white magic, stuff like that, you getting spirits to help you, you know.
Right.
And, you getting spirits to help you. And there's a lot of people, they actually practice that in their homes. You know, I've been in the homes of people where you go and look, sitting at the table, there's a cup of water and there's a cup of beans. If you look at the front door, they got a bottle of whiskey, some food sitting in the plate and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm like, hold on, wait, why you got this out here like that? Well, I do spirit worship, and, you know, what we do is, you know, the spirit they tell me that they will help me if I give them, you know, the things that they like, you know. So one spirit, he likes whiskey. One spirit, he likes a lot of water. One spirit, he likes beans, you know, this, that, and the other. And so they feed their spirit, and in return, the spirit helps them. You know, there's a guy that has a song out right now. His name is Robin Thicke. And the song is called Magic. And in the third verse of the song, don't quote me on the lyrics. You can go back and look them up for yourself. I'm kind of – the gist of what he was saying is, he was like, I know it seems like you have no hope. I know what it's like. I've been on that same road. Then he says, I took whatever the devil offered me because I knew that he could set me free. And then,
wow.
And then it goes on to the chorus saying, I got it. You got it. We got that magic. You know, so they're talking about magic, you know, so.
Yeah. And LP, that's the point. That's a very trendy song, and it's real catchy. And it reminds me of what you were saying. Now, Tony is the Prince man. Man, I would get into fights about Michael Jackson. Okay, so I love me some Michael Jackson. Now, but with you saying that, and educate me on that for tonight. That is the epitome of the enemy's disillusionment and disguise, in the sense that, you know, you with Michael, practicing that black and white thing, let's be honest with ourselves. Michael Jackson went through a period where every song that he released had a premiere video coming on in primetime TV. So his songs, once again, the enemy hid behind the fact that his songs was all about the video. So people truly wasn't really listening to the words.
No. People were not listening to the words because, in all actuality, let's be honest. You know, I've never met anybody, maybe you can do it, but I've never met anybody after 1986 that can name me a Michael Jackson song where they can sing every lyric of the song. Nobody can do it. You know why? Because nobody know what he was saying.
What they going to tell you about, oh, well, you talking about the song where Magic Johnson was in it and he spun around inside the thing and disappeared?
Indeed.
That's the video. See the words for the song.
Right. I want to bring back to your comment on what you said. You know, I would get in fights over Michael Jackson. Hey, look, you and me both. See, when I was a kid, you couldn't tell me I wasn't Michael Jackson. I idolized Michael Jackson, you know. And so, and the reason why, I'm going to tell you the reason why. These Nephilim spirits that Aleister Crowley taught to channel, these Nephilim spirits have the same exact nature of Satan himself. Now, Satan got kicked out of heaven because he desired the worship that the Most High God was getting. And so these same spirits, these Nephilim spirits, when they channel these spirits, they put themselves, these people put themselves in a position where they would get the worship that the Most High God was supposed to be getting. Now, think about the Beatles. Think about the worship that the Beatles got.
Right.
Think about the worship that Michael Jackson got. Think about the worship that a lot of the current artists get. You know, if I can get on Facebook and say something about God, and people would care less that I said it. But if I get out there and talk about their favorite artists, they'll delete me from their friends list. They'll dog me out and tell me how I need to, you need to stop talking about them and start praying for them. You know, I'm like, hold on, wait. You jumping on the fence of this artist and you don't even know them. And the main people that was jumping down my throat were people that I grew up with, people that love me and know me.
Oh.
Wow. Look here, we got time for just a couple of more callers. We're going to get area code 202. You on with Soar with Tony Took and Lick and LP 202?
Yes, indeed.
Go ahead, man. What's
all
your question and comment?
Well, my comment is this. I agree totally with what the last guy just said, and I just caught half of it. The bottom line is I've been doing music all my life. I'm a mighty marching hornet. It's what I love to do, Alabama State University. It's what I love to do. So I done put everything else down to do music. Well, in doing music, I also believe in God. And I always felt like the best, I make good music, but I know God said to be meek, and I know why he said that, because meek befits my spirit. But people don't seem to recognize what they're doing. They're using the music to push the devil's agenda. And until people recognize that it's really a battle with principalities, it's bigger than just one person. We living in 2011. They're using the music to turn out our kids and to turn our kids against how we were raised. I mean, I call it to and fro, like they use it in the Bible to cause confusion. And until people recognize it, it's gonna continue to happen. Like, we got to save our kids. And saving our kids is not letting them listen to Lil Wayne. And I can tell you, I'd be the first to tell you that I've been the cause of some of it also. You know, I done wrote my share. I done talked about selling drugs. I done talked about murder. But I was ignorant at the point. I was ignorant. I recognized what I was doing. And I was just helping the devil.
I'm kind of curious. What made you change over like that? I don't know if you were at the beginning of the call, but LP gave his what made you
What made me change over is when it became apparent. Like I said, God talks to me. So I had a conversation with God, and I said, God, why is it that I haven't made it in the music business? I make good music, and I done had opportunities, you know what I'm saying? But it comes down to a sacrifice. And if you're a person that have morals, you must refuse to sacrifice. You shouldn't sacrifice your morals for things.
Right.
If you a straight man and you've been positioned to put in the position to have sex with another man and you do that, but you're not gay, that's
mm-hmm.
a sacrifice. That's an immoral sacrifice. If you
right.
believe in God, but you push the devil's agenda and they tell you that from the offset.
Right.
They let it be known that you're pushing their agenda. If you do that, then you're making a sacrifice. I just can't agree with it. So once that happened to me, God allowed me to look at the game from the outside and see it for myself. And everything that I begin to see, it makes me feel bad because I love music that much. But at the same time, now I have to use it for what God wants me to use it for. So as much as they turn us down, now I make the kind of music that will build us up. Somebody has to tell the truth, and that's what it is.
Wow.
Amen. Amen.
Man, look at God. Look at God.
That's powerful. Amen. Anybody want to comment on that?
I just want to say, that brother is dead on it, man. Because that's exactly some of the things that take place in the music industry, what he was saying, the whole sacrifice thing, being in a position, where it's like, okay, you want this record deal, you're going to have to, have sex with another man. See, that's another thing going back to the whole Aleister Crowley thing. See, Aleister Crowley, he was a practicing bisexual, and at the same time, he had sex with children.
Wow.
And a lot of things with the music industry, Crowley said that's like the purest form where you can gain power, by having sex with another man or especially by having sex with a child. And this is the reason why it's so prevalent in the music industry. I don't know if you knew it or not, but, different music moguls like what's the guy name? He got caught up with Immature. Shucks, I forgot the dude name. Chris Stokes. Yeah, Chris Stokes.
Okay.
Chris Stokes. It came out that he was molesting, Immature and those guys. That little group. he was molesting them guys and making them perform oral sex on one another. In hotel rooms, they got pictures on the internet where he got them laying in the bed together in their underwear, and it's other music moguls that it has come out that they were molesting young groups and young artists and things of that nature, and it's because that's the power that's flowing through the music industry, so I definitely understand what he's saying. And If you don't partake and sit at their table and eat of the king's meat, you can't partake in what they're doing. And so this is the reason why we as artists, we as a people, we have to come up, we have to believe God for resources so that we can fund our own things, so that we can have our own networks, so we can have our own FM radio stations, so that we can have our own television
yeah.
stations and things of that nature. This is why we need resources. This is why we need money in the body of Christ, so that we can promote what God is doing. But at the same time, like I said, we just have to believe God for it, because God has it. He's already given it to us. But we got to believe and receive it by faith so that we can bring it into the natural realm, so that we can promote the agenda of God, so that we can promote the kingdom of God, the things of God, so that we can take our youth back. And I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to get off my soapbox. In order to take our youth back, it's going to start with us men.
Wow.
We as men have to be fathers. We as men have to be husbands. We as men have to stand up and take our place in the household.
Yeah,
and whenever we do that, that's when we're going to get our kids back.
Wow. And we are almost out of time. Got time for one more. We're going to get to, I think Tiki's got another comment. Tiki, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm still here listening.
Go ahead with a question.
Well, I don't have a question. I just had a statement to make.
Okay.
I was listening at LP, and he mentioned Aleister Crowley, and I'm familiar with who that is. I'm not a big music person, but I'm a big book person. So I read a lot of different things. But I just wanted to – I believe that knowledge is power,
and that you should always empower people to learn and know more. But in this, I just want to caution our listeners and the panel that's here tonight to be careful how you invite people to partake or to sit at the table or something like that, because not everybody is spiritually strong enough to handle what they read, and they can very well backfire. They can become a student of it rather than to be knowledgeable in it, to put it away from them.
Right.
And that's my statement.
I can agree with you on that wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly indeed. But at the same time, when I say but, I'm not dismissing what you're saying, because I'm just trying to bring a little balance to, you know, basically what I was saying and to what you're saying. I'm just trying to bring some balance. The balance is this. You know, if you read in the scripture talks about, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, spirit worship, and, you know, God told Abraham to leave his family and leave his kindred because in the Ur of the Chaldees, that's what they did. They worshiped the sun and the stars and the moon, and they did, you know, and if you look at the Egyptians, you know, whenever Moses, when he went back, you know, in Egypt, they were practicing spirit worship and all that, and saying all that to say, this is where Aleister Crowley got all of his information and the knowledge and wisdom that he got, that he had. He got that stuff out of Egypt, because he went to Egypt. And that's where his wife was possessed by a devil in Egypt. And his wife pointed him to some information in Egypt. And so a lot of the stuff that he spoke of was out of Egyptology. And God warned the children of Israel about that stuff that was going on in Egypt. And whenever they came, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, a lot of them had inherited, and they would continue to practice a lot of the stuff that they had gained in Egypt. You know, the worshiping of animals and men laying with men, and, you know, practicing magic and mysticism and all that other stuff. That stuff was happening. So saying all that to say, all that stuff it's talked about in the Bible. So if it's there in the Bible, you know, and again, I'm just bringing balance to what you're saying. I'm not dismissing what you're saying. I totally agree that, you know, with people, they're not spiritually mature enough, they may get caught up or whatever. But my sole purpose for pointing out a lot of this stuff is to encourage people to come to the knowledge of the truth so that they don't be deceived into that stuff.
Wow, man. This has been a blessing, man. We are flat out of time. But, LP, man, I've got about 4 or 5 texts from people asking us to do a part 2. Of this, man, and if you're willing, man, we're going to get you back on shortly or soon, man, and would you be willing to do one on down the road, my brother?
Oh, most definitely, man. Anything for you, man. You know, you've been a blessing to me, man, and so whatever it is I can do, man, to be a blessing to you, I'm definitely willing to do it.
Well, I appreciate you for opening up our eyes, man, for Michael Jackson and Prince, man. Now I got to go throw all my Prince stuff away, man. Now look at this. and now Stu got to deal with his Michael Jackson stuff. But, man, it's been a blast. We're not going to do the Tukeism, too, because it's kind of we pressing on time. But, man, I really appreciate all the callers. LP, before we get out of here, man, would you like to give any information on yourself, your music, how people can get involved, or how they can connect with you or your music or anything?
Most definitely, you can get in touch with me. You can send me an email. Email me at LikePaulMinistries. That's LikePaul Ministries. LikePaulMinistries at yahoo.com. You know, hit me up. You can hit me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Excuse me. It's YoBoyLPZ. That's YoBoyL. The letter L, the letter P, the letter Z. YoBoyLPZ. And my music is available on iTunes. My album is called Testimony. And I have an EP also on iTunes. It's called Move Real Smooth. And so you can just Google LP Like Paul, gospel rapper, you know, and you can find, you know, all the information about me. And if you'd like to book me for an event, you can give us a call at 1-800-225-9087. And or you can go to haloproductions.net. That's HALO productions.net. And looking forward to hearing from you, looking forward to connecting with you, looking forward to coming to your church. I do churches, bar mitzvahs, grandmama parties, everything. Holla at me.
All right, and I got a text from my son. He wants to know when your next album is coming out, the next CD is coming out.
Next CD, the name of the CD is called I Am, and that'll be dropping in the first quarter. So be looking out for that. It's going to bless your socks off. My first single should be dropping real soon. I'm definitely going to keep everybody notified. Hit me up on my Facebook page, facebook.com/LP Likepaul. It's LIKEPAUL.
All right, and for everybody that didn't quite get that, I'm going to get all that information off of the tape, and I'm going to put it on SOAR. So go to www.soulofamericaradio.com, and I'm going to have everything he just said on there. Or you can look, you can get this show on the archive. So, man, we appreciate you. You are a wonderful man of God. You got a great message, man. Keep on doing what you're doing, my brother.
Thank you, sir. Love you. Y'all be blessed.
You too, man. And, Took, man, we've come to the end of another one, man, and it's been a blessing. What do you think about it?
Man, it was beautiful. It was accountable. It was responsible. And more importantly, it was educating and uplifting. And I just want to say before we leave, once again, continue to keep yourself uplifted, and remember that angels fly because they take themselves lightly.
All right. And y'all take care, and I want y'all to keep soaring. And we're going to take this out with Ooh Ah. It's by a Christian rap group called Grits. Y'all take care, be easy, and keep soaring, baby. Keep soaring.
Soul of America Radio.
My life, yeah.